Good morning. Today is Friday, August the 17th. Joining us this morning is our Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Been to the fair yet?
I have not made it to the fair yet.
Plans to?
Nope, I don't have plans.
You're not a horse racing girl.
I am. I love the fair. Just we're finishing up. We've got a lot of excitement with the Humboldt State University students coming back into town, and just a lot planned up in the Arcata area as well.
Okay, well, you brought in Humboldt State, so you know what we'll be talking a little bit about. But before we get there, why do they say that? Back seat. Why do we use the term take a back seat when referring to a lesser position? Any idea?
No, I think we all would have imagined it had something to do with the automobile, but...
Well, then, you're going to be wildly excited about this definition. Because why do we use the term take a back seat when referring to a lesser position? Because those members of the British Parliament who belong to the majority party take the front seats. Those who are in the minority take a back seat, either of their own accord or because they're told to do so. So there you go. It's all about politics. Everything is about politics.
Why do we say it?
Oh, gee. So school is, I guess it's back in session, kind of, sort of.
They're moving. Really started on Monday. They, you know, have sort of a graduated move-in Monday, Tuesday. Actually, today is their biggest day of freshman move-in up at Humboldt State. So
yeah, okay, the dorms are opening, but for the community, yes, it's kind of been happening. When enrollment is off at Humboldt, other than going and holding your breath for a little bit to see what that means, what does it mean?
And if enrollment comes in low at Humboldt?
Yeah. Let's say, yeah, what is, I know you guys, they've probably done all kinds of studies and you guys have shared. Yeah. What is a kid worth?
You know, in terms of, you know, a student's value in the community, you know, besides maybe being immeasurable, you know, what we see right now in terms of student enrollment decline is I don't think we see a big impact in Arcata. The prime housing for HSU is in Arcata. So, you know, our sense is we have still a huge housing crunch. You know, students are still struggling this week to find housing if they hadn't secured housing before they got here. So our housing in Arcata will fill. So the population of Arcata at this point, we have not seen declines in Humboldt State University that affect the population of students in Arcata.
So it's more the Blue Lakes, the McKinleyvilles, the Eurekas.
I assume in the peripheral areas they are perhaps seeing that. You know, they house 2,000 on campus. That leaves about 6,000 that get housed within the, you know, general community. We have tried to tease out the census data for years to figure out, you know, how much of that Arcata population is active students. But I think somewhere, you know, between 3,500 probably and 4,000 live within, you know, the Arcata city proper, and then the rest within the outskirts. So at this point, yeah, I just don't think the city of Arcata itself doesn't feel that downturn. From the general economy of HSU, it can be a significant amount of revenue for them in terms of keeping classes and, you know. But we'll start to see a turnaround. The good news on that front that I've heard from the university is that they have a much higher retention rate in returning students from the freshman year.
So the washout rate isn't as high as it is for some others.
Yeah. So they're starting to hopefully see some of their efforts. Now, they do still have a smaller freshman class. We'll see where the numbers fold out, you know, by the end of next week. But they do anticipate a slightly smaller freshman class, but they are seeing some of the retention.
Have you heard any ripples about the decision with the football program? Is that kind of a tangent, or do you think that that's in that mix somewhere?
It's certainly within the dialogue around the community, I think, overall in the fundraising community, because there was a pretty extensive effort, you know, that was kind of mounted towards that. And in essence, that effort really was mounted towards the entire athletic program, you know, focused around football initially, but the discussion, at least at the community level, was around all athletics. So I'm hopeful that that discussion will continue to support some of the other athletic programs that are equally important up at the university. But it's, you know, it hasn't been the primary focus of the conversations that I've heard.
Won't be easy sledding for the next couple of years.
No, it won't. And, you know, I don't think we're seeing it on any campus or in any community. You know, we do see economy starting to come up, but we've had expenses that have risen for many years in, you know, education and in local government. And we're hoping that the economy keeps up at a pace that allows us to maintain that. But it's going to be a challenge.
What would it take now that we're off the campus, what would it take for the city coffers to keep pace with PERS and STIRS and the retirement programs? Because that seems to be the altar that everybody's putting the blame at.
Yeah.
And certainly, I mean, it's a significant factor. I don't think anybody's questioning that. Mm-hmm. But what growth would the local economy need to have just so that city services retain the level that it is today?
Right. It's an excellent question. I don't know if I want to give an exact number. You know, what we saw was really spikes. So we saw 3 years of double-digit health care for a period of time, and then we've seen these huge spikes and valleys in PERS that could be, you know, 15 to 20% and then only 3%. You know, what that equates to in terms of the city's overall budget, you know, I would guess that we are in, you know, like the 8 to 10% range for a period of time over the last 10 years. But
that's a pretty healthy growth figure.
Well, it's huge, yeah.
To tread water, not to get ahead.
Right, not
but
to
just
get ahead, yeah.
Stay
for that
are.
Period of time. Now, 3 years ago, the city went to a self-insured insurance pool. So our healthcare costs have been capped at, you know, much lower 2 to 3% rate increases that we've been able to maintain. Now, that's going to depend.
Can you do that with retirement?
Yeah, well, I think that's what the original thought of PERS was. But, you know, then as plans changed and the economy, you know, was booming in certain periods, and at that point, you know, governments instituted amenities in those contracts that became unsustainable. So,
well, it seems like it's unsustainable. I know it seems like one side gets it and the other side loses it. So too much fun, too much fun. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, the impact of the university certainly is one that everybody recognizes for the entire county. With some of the challenges associated with it, you know, APD has had some opportunities to go on campus, and just as the campus police have had the chance to kind of come off campus every once in a while.
Sure.
Overall, considering the back and forth and the costs and the benefits, how does the Humboldt-Arcata relationship match up to, like, Davis or Chico or some of the other smaller communities that do have a large educational facility in their midst? Is it normal? Is it a little bit different? Are there ways to improve or ways to make it better?
I think we put a lot of effort into making improvements in the relationship between the university and the city over the last 4 years, sort of at every level. So I think we've got really solid relationships with mutual aid, certainly within our police departments have, you know, for years enjoyed, I think, a lot of backup that they do, whether it's an actual call for mutual aid or they just see each other on a stop around town. Often I will see a UPD, you know, officer just stop a block back because they know that we're dealing with a situation in the block ahead and they just happen to be in the area and vice versa. So we try to make connections on that level. We've more formalized a lot of the work that they're doing with the university around racial equity, around student safety. We have a joint student safety forum.
Recognition of or kind of making it systemic so that there's a smooth between both? with some of these different areas.
Yeah, creating infrastructure at the administration level between the city and the business community and the university to come together around issues of student safety, integration into the community, and racial equity overall is a theme in the city. So we've got several working groups, and one of them is police, student safety, that is co-chaired by a member of Arcata Police Department and then HSU, UPD. So they have student forums. They also help with the chief's advisory panel for the university police chief. So that's one of the groups. Another one that we have is working on a project. It's called Home Away from Home. And it's literally just going back to simple potlucks where the community members come forward and they cook and students can come and eat for free. And they can meet people in the community that share their same interests. So they're interested in the construction trades or technology or the sciences. Come and seek out resources and mentors in the community. If you want to learn, you know, how to hone your skills in a certain thing or where to get your hair cut or where's the best place to do laundry, whatever it is. But creating a network for new students that come in. So we've just formalized some of those relationships so they'd be sustainable over time. sorry, we're having some studio updates today. So that's not to say that there's any joke about the work that we're doing with
just,
the university.
Just wait. Someday there's going to be a camera in here.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I may not be around at that point, but there may be. The concept of kids away from their house or out of home, certainly for freshmen, I suppose, is one of the more daunting things, one more liberating things, potentially, but one of the more daunting. Is part of this the mentoring, but also so that maybe those first time out of home that are thinking footloose and fancy free might also recognize that the community does have some eyes and we are paying attention. And just because you're not in your hometown doesn't mean you're not in my hometown.
Right.
And it's kind of that family check and balance.
Yeah, I think it really goes both ways. You know, in terms of, yes, we've got eyes and ears, but even more so, we want to welcome you in and let you understand that this is your home away from home for the period that you're here. And then we are a small rural community. A lot of our students come from more urbanized settings. So I really encourage students to get out, knock on the doors of your neighbors, meet the people in your neighborhood and your community, because that is the type of community that we are.
Pop in and hang out, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's intimidating. It's really hard. I mean, you and I have both launched, you know, freshmen off to colleges, and it can be really intimidating. And it is our hope that with some of these programs that we can instill in the students that we're, you know, a community, hopefully, that has fewer barriers to meeting your neighbors because of the rural nature. We have a partnership with Associated Students. This will be the first year that they're hosting kind of their big kickoff. Potluck event for their students and music sort of festival that they do. It's typically on the campus, and we're going to be moving that down onto the plaza this year to really try to encourage the students to come down and get to know the businesses and the plaza and the town and start to feel more comfortable getting oriented.
A little bit earlier in the year rather than waiting until... Yeah,
the university dorms are working with Main Street and the city and the farmers market. They're going to be running some shuttles for students to come down to the farmers market. Just, I know it's not very far, but when you're just brand new to town, just to help orient the students around town so that they feel more comfortable walking the next time.
Turn left, walk 4 blocks.
You're
see
there,
it.
Yeah. I know it seems easy to us, but when you really are brand new, you're in a brand new neighborhood, the first time you've been on your own, we're just looking for ways to make that transition a little bit more comfortable. So.
And this is the first year for that?
This is probably our third year that we're, you know, but we're just trying to build a little bit each year. This is the second year for our potlucks. Last year they grew with each potluck. And so we're just slowly, and then the first year for really the Associated Students coming down to the plaza and starting some of their kickoff events there. So
that would be interesting if more and more of the campus stuff was in town and more of the town stuff was on campus. So instead of having that, you know, LK Wood frontage, you know, that's where the invisible wall is in 14th, and to kind of break it down and to, I guess, let the city feel that this is their campus.
mm-hmm.
and the campus to feel that this is their city.
Yeah. I mean, I look at Humboldt County maybe as a whole. I certainly look at the city of Arcata and sort of the entrepreneurial businesses that are in Arcata. And if I'm ever in a room of business folks, I love to start with a question of how many of you graduated from Humboldt State? And, you know, usually 75% of that room raises its hand. So we recognize that we are in Arcata what we are because of the graduates of Humboldt State. And to be able to continue to maintain that, we need to keep graduates here that continue to infuse in our business community.
That's what I was kind of giggling. If you asked how many graduated from Arcata High, what the response would be.
Yeah, a lot of those hands go down.
Yeah. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and American Ag Credit. Karen, the concept of housing certainly is one that is a challenge. You can argue, you know, when I went to Humboldt, I don't forget what percentage lived on campus and which didn't. I didn't. But when I went back to Nebraska, everybody lived on campus.
Yeah.
Private school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you kind of got both, and, but you can understand the argument that no dorms on campus because this is part of the community and the community should be benefiting as much as possible from the educational experience and integrating into the community, et cetera, et cetera. The other side saying, you know, we got to make sure that the school covers its nut first before we worry about spreading it out throughout the community. And it's always better, more efficient for services and some of the other things for the kids to stay on campus and then venture out into the community for special events or on their own free time. Most are somewhere in between, right?
I'm
sure you've heard those arguments.
Yep.
With the recent discussions about the building and building more housing in Arcata, whether it's apartments, students, yes or no,
right.
Duplex, quads, whatever it might happen to be, or just more single family units.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of tough, you know, particularly with the housing costs as they are, when private sector folks are trying to attract people into the county, and there's not enough housing for somebody who's wants to come here, they can't afford it. Well, obviously there's an issue, and then you throw in the university and their desires to grow. It's going to be compounding this also. How do you know what is the proper number? Is there a proper number?
Well, I think that you start with an initial proper number. What are you looking at? Your vacant lands, your undeveloped lands, what could you sustain at certain densities? And you have to have that dialogue with your community, hopefully ahead of time. I mean, that is the whole purpose of having a general plan and a housing element and a land use code, right? I mean, those are the guiding documents that support or restrict development within a community. So you start there, but, you know, within the city's general plan, you know, some of the policies really direct higher density student housing to be closer to campus. Because I think in especially a lot of the urban areas, but certainly true in the rural areas, parking on campus is hugely impacted. One of the most impacted CSUs campuses for parking.
Which is so, really weird when you think about it, but I guess if you don't pay attention to it over a couple of decades, it can kind of get away from you pretty quick.
And when you only house 25% of your students on campus, you have a lot of people commuting in to come to campus. So So the idea of the city's initial general plan, which is, you know, almost 20 years old, it typically was going to go through 2020 originally, so we're starting to update elements of it now. We do a housing element update every 5 years. But the idea was to put higher density housing closer to campus that would eliminate the need for all the students to drive to campus. And so you can create policies like that to help to direct, but at the same time, you will have big developments come in. You will have a developer decide on a piece of property, whatever it is, whether it's a commercial development or a housing development, and then that simply comes before you, and you're thrown into a system of having to, you know, that property owner has their rights to go through the planning process within a community. And the Planning Commission vets how does that project fit, you know, within the neighborhood and within the guidelines that we have set in our zoning ordinances, in our land use code, and our general plan.
Is there a significant difference with the proximity? You have Valley West and all those places mm-hmm. that popped up, and I don't know what percentage your student or it doesn't right. seem like it's an awful lot because they don't get, there's not a lot of empty during the off season. Okay. You've got the highway mm-hmm. kind of cutting the town up. You're okay, well, student housing's over on that side rather than on this side.
Not if you live in Arcata.
Well, student, I understand.
Yeah, student but housing is in all neighborhoods.
Is that
yeah.
is that the best approach? Or to have it concentrated?
Yeah, there's probably arguments on both sides of that.
Well, you probably heard both sides yeah. of that argument, haven't you? Yeah.
I think we have quite a bit. Even just talking about this one, you know, large student-focused or student-built project. So, you know, I think the real debate, I think the Arcata community and probably all of Humboldt County recognizes that we're going to see increase in housing. In local government, we see multiple pieces of legislation every single year coming out from our state legislature that is trying to strip local governments of the ability to restrict housing because the entire state is in a housing crunch. And so they are pushing, the state legislation is pushing hard to make the construction of housing easier. We pushed back to some degree to say we have got, I mean, in Arcata and throughout the entire state, local governments have approved a number of housing developments that still have yet to be built, that there is a balance between what local governments can do and what the economy overall in the state is going to need to do for housing to come to fruition.
So did Kurt Kramer's project run into much opposition or much discussion, or did it just kind of flow?
Yeah, some opposition certainly right within the neighborhood. The benefit that development had is that the city had just put in a brand new road and all of the traffic was going to be diverted in and out of that road, actually reduced some of the traffic, you know, at that point that was heading into the neighborhood that was most affected by this development. So, but he'll have hopefully most of his 142 units online. And so we will at least have that additional housing for students. That are
a little bit
in.
Of a relief valve, yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:42. We will return.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, since last we got together, a little bit of action on the plaza, bar row, et cetera, et cetera. I know this time of the year everybody gets a little excited and a little concerned, new kids coming in and all that stuff. But this wasn't of that. This was different stuff.
Yes, it was.
What's going on with that? Yeah. Is it working its way through the courts now or something else?
Yeah, so alcohol beverage control. So, you know, part of it is out of a series of community meetings. The community said, we think it's reasonable, and it's very reasonable for them to ask that we don't have drug dealing on the plaza. So,
geez, no illegal activities on the plaza. What a shocker.
Yeah. So the Drug Task Force, the Humboldt County Drug Task Force, of which many of the agencies, you know, identify an agent to work with, came in and started doing monitoring on the plaza to try to determine where drug dealing was occurring. They ended up locating, it's all alleged at this point, so I'm not going to say any of it's totally confirmed, that a substantial portion of the drug dealing was coming from two of the bars on the plaza, the Toby and Jackson sidelines. And so alcohol beverage control came in as well and helped do a fairly substantial, about 9-month operation to look at that. They ended up with, I believe, warrants for 14 arrests and made at least 12 of those so far. Associated with that. Those are all moving through the courts. But then alcohol beverage control also has its own process. So initially they offer, typically what they do is they offer to an establishment if they have said that they are going to be pursuing complete revocation of the licenses. They typically offer a deal to the bar owners, which is the right to sell those licenses within Humboldt County for a period of time, typically a year. And if the property owner takes that, then they retain, you know, certainly retain their property, but the license can't stay on that property. It has to be sold to some other property within Humboldt County.
So they're not shut down. They just have to change their business model.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They could open up some other type of business or just a cafe without alcohol. But, you know, certainly cost differential there. My understanding is that the owner of the bars has turned down that deal and is going to take the matter through their court proceeding that alcohol beverage control does. So currently they're scheduled for a hearing date, I believe it's September 28th, that they will go through that process. Now, what I've been told is that typically if they don't take the deal up front and revocation just happens, that then ABC, those licenses are just eliminated from Humboldt County. And at this point, we don't have the population to support the level of licenses that we already have. And so until our population grows, we won't see new licenses.
And those get assigned somewhere else or purchased?
I think they just go away, actually.
Oh, really? So there's just, there would be two less in the state of California.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and then as population grows in certain areas around the state, they get allocated additional licenses. So once the population of Humboldt Mets, and I don't know the secret numbers, they would issue out additional, you know, licenses.
You have to learn the handshake first.
Apparently I do, yeah. So it's still really tentative at this point, but it is still pushing through. It's all still very active, and there, you know, certainly is a possibility that we will see two fewer bars on the plaza.
So if that happens, negative impact to the city? Positive? Just changes, change happens?
You know, people have different opinions about that, but we have had such a large cry from the community about the condition of alcohol abuse and drug abuse on the plaza that if those allegations are true and a substantial amount of drug dealing was happening from those establishments, then definitely that's positive to see the end of that particular level of drug dealing. There's no doubt about that. Whether or not the end of those two establishments, if they were not engaging in that behavior, is a positive or a negative, people have really mixed feelings on.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they weren't doing anything wrong, if it was it was fiction, well, then there ought to be retribution.
Right.
But if they were messing around.
Yeah, and the evidence will have to, you know, I think have to be pretty strong and we'll see how that's presented.
Is that a public proceeding or is that a closed door?
It's not a closed door. It is a public hearing. But I have been told that it's not like a standard public meeting where people can give their own personal testimony. It'll be more of a court proceeding. We couldn't participate, but people from the community could go down and listen.
Just be in the crowd.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, enjoy the weekend. Now think about the fair. See everybody on Monday.